This podcast replay is brought to you by Sports Grill. With over 35 years of making it special grilled, they're celebrating the start of football season with 15% off all bone-in wings. Visit any of their 7 locations all over South Florida.
There he is. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
I'm good. I love that you bring me in with that picture of me from, I don't even know when. That might have been 2008, 2009. I gotta refresh that look. I'm not that young child anymore.
It's all I found on Google. What the hell you want me to do? You don't have a lot of pictures on Google. You know, you're Mr. Secret. You hide behind everything. You don't like taking your picture taken. I don't know. Maybe you're like that guy that's like 4,000 years old and never dies, and you're just like fooling us the entire time. You're probably dyeing your hair gray right now.
No, man.
You're probably really 24 years old, but you're really 2,024 years old.
It's actually my wife. Like, you cannot tell. I don't know. You cannot tell. I have aged somewhat dramatically, but my wife looks the same right now as she does in pictures from like the 90s, and it's beginning to get awkward. So got to do something about it. Maybe I'll have a little work done, but I don't think I'll ever get back to, as youthful as I looked in that.
So she transferred your powers, and now she owns them. Is that what's happening? So now you've become human.
I swear to God, I never had these powers.
Oh, this is bad for you. You have become human now, like the rest of us. That is a shame. You're watching yourself.
I do not age like Tom Brady, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I see. For 2,000 years, you never aged. And you thought it was going to keep going. And then you met your wife, and she actually took your power away from you. Look,
it appears that way.
That's a talented
woman. I can't rule out your theory. Can't rule out your theory, Big O. I hope you're enjoying the World Baseball Classic, by the way. This has been sensational.
Oh, yeah. I'm just riveted by it. Yes. I'm just right on the corner of my seat and watching every – I was laughing at it because Americans don't give a shit about the World Baseball Classic. They just don't, right? And yet the teams that actually – and the countries that actually care did not make it to the finals. Because, nobody cares more than the Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans and the Venezuelans.
I mean, you might be right per capita, but I will say, like, the actual total viewership for games that involve Japan is pretty crazy. And there's a really good chance that tonight's game is going to be the most watched baseball game of all time. And that's going to be entirely about viewership from Japan. Obviously, it's hitting at a weird moment in the U.S. because
they're giving us that bullshit total viewership because they got to include the world. If they just included the United States, I'd be very interested to find out how the ratings were in the United States. Because something.
Yeah, but is it so different from the World Cup, really? Which I'm sure does in the U.S. But like, the players are fully bought in on this. Like, the players care.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun. It has been really fun to watch. And last night's game was just that was pretty much as good as baseball gets.
I'm not arguing that it's not fun. I'm not arguing that I'm not watching it. But I'm just saying, you just talk to people and they just don't care. They just don't care. Americans, we don't even send the best of our best.
I mean, we sent some pretty good ones.
I know, but some of our guys are like, yeah, I'll El Paso. That's not going to happen to a Puerto Rican or a Dominican. They're not El Paso on this. If they got an opportunity to go, they're going to go. They're like totally into it. You know what I mean?
I hope at least a few people among your listeners and viewers are able to actually get out there and watch it. I've been to a couple of World Baseball Classic games over the years. I was super excited for the very first one, and the atmosphere is just unique. You're just never in a stadium in North America with that kind of crowd for baseball. It's really, really fun.
And by the way, these are the kind of crowds that the Marlins will never see all season long unless the Yankees visit.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part too, that you look at it and you're like, holy crap, the crowds and the buzz that's there. It is absolutely freaking impressive to see the buzz around all of that. All right. So let's get into a little football talk here.
Can I just tip my hat to the David Long signing, by the way? I don't know if we were going to talk about it, but
I was going to ask you about Dolphin free agency, your thoughts on it. So David Long is one guy that a lot of people are talking about here.
Yeah, you should be. He's a really good football player who I feel like his only issue has really been availability, which is a huge issue, right? In the NFL, it's a huge concern. But I don't like David Long doesn't carry like an injury into the season that makes you worry about his long-term availability. And I actually think this is a thing that more teams should exploit, that more fantasy managers should exploit, right? Like there's injury risk everywhere. And I just think they got a really good player at a really good price. And this is more evidence of players just wanting to come to Miami and be a part of something and recognizing the opportunity that is in front of that team. Like, I just thought it was one of the better deals that we've seen in free agency. And granted, I'm kind of distracted by multiple sports at this moment. And I haven't written up what I think all the best deals are from free agency, but David Long has got to be one of them because he has a chance to, I think, pretty dramatically outproduce this contract. Pretty modest. I also just like the Dolphins are kind of running it back with a cut. Like, I think it's fine that they just re-signed the running backs from last year because number one, they were good. Number two, they're not signed at prices that preclude you from doing something else if an opportunity presents itself, either in free agency or in the draft. Like, I just think it's good. I think continuity year to year is good when you have good players. And making some obvious enhancements along the edges is the way smart teams do it. So I feel like, sometimes the signings that are not the splashiest, that don't get the biggest headlines, actually end up being some of the best for your team. So I'm just very impressed with that. Like, I don't have a lot of criticism for what they've done in the offseason to this point.
No, I love what they've done this offseason. And with the David Long one, you made a very good point that I like, because there have been tissue injuries, not really big serious injuries. Knees, oh, he's lost some cartilage. He's got to, he's replaced one knee ligament. He had an Achilles, which might limit his movement. You know, none of those kind of, he's a linebacker. He had a shoulder, injury. And obviously the linebackers need to use their shoulders. And none of that. It's all kind of tissue stuff, which that usually can be taken care of with the right balance of diet and exercise and those kind of things. That stuff can be tweaked. And then the other thing that I try to tell people about David Long, because a couple of guys in the NFL told me this, they think he's a player on the rise, actually.
Yeah.
He's actually not played his best so far. And one of the things I mentioned, look at his numbers. Even with, missing a few games, his numbers have gone up every year. Okay? So that's the other thing, that even though he's missed some games, it's still his tackles and tackles for losses and everything, all these kind of things are going up every
season. Yeah, this is the thing with him. If you actually take just his and systems and all that, and he'll have a probably a very fantasy friendly, IDP friendly, tackle friendly role, I would imagine, in Miami. But like, if he plays 16 games, you're getting 125 tackles, like just at the rate that he's done it in the past. And to your point, like, I get concerned about a player's injury potential if like he had a major knee injury and then he had to have a follow-up surgery on the knee, right? He had to have a cleanup. There's another cleanup after a season, right? Or as you say, it's some sort of recurring, every offseason we're having the shoulder repaired, right? And we've seen guys like that, and oftentimes they don't make it to second contracts. Oftentimes it is their professional undoing. But we don't have that history with David Long. And sometimes guys just also get unlucky because it is a violent game, right? At some point in the next 2 years, we're going to get like a 16, 17 game season out of David Long. And I just think he's really good. I just think this is another really good, smart addition that the team made. And they did it with a pretty team friendly number too.
Did it blow you away, the Jalen Ramsey deal?
I don't totally know what to make of Jalen Ramsey, because his worst moments last year were pretty bad, right? there were some times when an elite receiver would get a hold of him and like at the line of scrimmage, their hand would just go up right away. Like, oh, I got one. And then another time, like, he's such a good opportunistic player. He's seen everything, right? That is certainly to his benefit. So he's just kind of, I thought he was a little bit like shut down or touchdown last year. But
well, I think because the franchise mailed it in, he mailed it in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that could very well be it, right? Like you start playing for big plays, you start playing for your own tape.
He'll be different. Here they're gonna move him around. Because I talked about this when they signed him, because he's a big physical guy, you know, I could see, oh, you're playing against the tight end that's giving you some trouble. All right, let's move Jalen in. Cater did a great job on the outside last year, so I'm sure he'll be battling for the inside job. We actually had Cater on yesterday on the show, and so I could see Cater going to the outside for the moment, and then they're going to put Jalen up against that tight end. Or Javon Holland will move in or something along those lines. I just think now with Jalen and Javon, you have a lot of flexibility. And then with Cater and Nick Needham and all the other guys that you have, you can move those guys around. I just think they're going to keep Ramsey a little bit more busy. And I think he kind of will be more into what he has to do because of the way this scheme is kind of set up, that he might be covering inside. I think somebody just wrote where he's had 700 snaps at slot in his career. So he's had a lot of snaps at slot. And I just feel like that's why they brought him here. It's not just that he can cover on the outside. It's that he also adds a dimension inside. So it depends on what you're dealing with. Oh, you're dealing with Darren Waller. You're dealing with, you know, Travis Kelce. You're dealing with a big wide receiver inside or something like that that's giving you some trouble. All right, let's move Jalen inside to kind of slow that down.
It's a really good point. Get some respect from officials too. And as you say, the number of like great interior receivers, you know, guys who line up in the slot, whether we're calling them tight ends like Kelce or whether we're just calling them slot receivers, even though that's right. What Kelce is. You need a guy who can hang with them and who can get a little handsy and get away with it at times too. It was a great addition. I also think one of the other encouraging things with Ramsey is how much he clearly wanted to be in Miami, right? And that just, I would just feel, if I were a Dolphins fan right now, I'd be feeling really good because everybody wants to come to my team. I'm getting some bargains out of it. I'm getting some really good players out of it. And I'm doing it without like blowing everything up from one year to the next too. Like they're legitimately building on things that they did last year. Love the coordinator. Really love what's ahead for that team. They certainly look like the division favorite right now.
Yeah, no, I mean they're looking good right now. Hopefully they can get the break of actually, you know, staying healthy overall. You start looking around the NFL. What's going to happen with Lamar Jackson in your opinion, dude?
I don't see a. Again, we've talked about this before. I don't see how he's not in Baltimore. I don't see how Baltimore isn't the best fit. You know, the Ravens continue to talk about him as if he is very clearly their quarterback. I don't know how the Ravens pivot from Lamar. Like, they're not well positioned to do it. It's a absolutely bizarre contract situation. It's a bizarre negotiation that is so slowly unfolding over many years, and I don't think anybody looks great in it. But I do think he has to end up in Baltimore, and they have to find him some legitimate receiving talent too. He's just, we've talked about it. He's such a unique player that you can't just, he's not just like some plug and play pocket quarterback that you can put into any system. I mean,
they're not making any moves.
Spent years building around him.
They're not making any moves in Baltimore.
No, they're going to, pretty clearly, I would imagine, are going to add some receiving talent through the draft. There are some fun names in the draft. I don't know that they can get in on the absolute top guys. I don't think we're going to see like an Addison fall to that team or anything like that. But there are some talented receivers here, and they got to make additions because there weren't really any receivers available via free agency. DJ Moore was the one guy who seemed likely to change teams, and they didn't land him. But they have to add receiving talent around Lamar. It's a strange situation, and you can't just plug Lamar into any franchise and be like, okay, wind him up, let's go.
No, that's that takes a complete dedication to running his offense if you're going to bring him in, because he's not a normal quarterback.
It's a total franchise reboot if you bring in Lamar Jackson, right? It's not like a quick fix. And it's not like plugging in, I don't know, name a pocket passer, right? It's not like plugging in Derek Carr to what you're already doing. He's such a unique player, and you really need, like, you need the line configured around him. You need a running game configured around him. You need all kinds of things to fall into place that you have not been building for.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, who blinks, Jets or Packers?
talk about another weird situation, right? Like,
who blinks?
Just
and
absolutely
why?
Bizarre.
And why?
It's probably got to be the Jets. I don't know. The Packers can let this thing drag on for a while. The Jets are the team that is going to reach a point where they got to get him in the building, and they got to actually move forward with what clearly is going to happen anyway, right? So
the Jets have cornered themselves. Everybody's gone in the market. You have no other options.
You also signed all his guys. Like, you've already built the team that Aaron Rodgers wants.
Yeah, but like, what are you gonna do? Go back to the MILF Buster? You're not gonna do that. So everybody knows you have to trade for him. If I'm the Packers, I know people say, well, the Packers don't have nearly as much leverage. Well, actually, they do, because the Packers have their plan. They're moving forward. And Rodgers, well, they can wait, because the Jets need to get him into training camp. They need to get him. You know, people say, well, he never shows up for mini camp. Well, he's in a new team. He may have to show up for some mini camps this time around, because he has to get the timing down if he wants to actually compete. You know, so the Jets, for me, as time builds on, some people say, oh, up to the draft and the Packers lose their leverage. I don't believe that. I think the Packers can keep this thing going well into the offseason and maybe even to training camp and make the Jets get nervous, because at one point, if you don't get them in, then you're not going to make the move. And then what are you going to do? What kind of a season you're going to have? You're just going to give up a season with that defense? That would be ridiculous.
The Jets are already deeply pot committed here. They have to get him in. They got to get him working with Garrett Wilson and every other aspect of the offense, right? Like, they've just got to move on. They've got to turn the page. And it's fine if it takes a little while, but it can't drag on that much longer, especially since Rodgers has already sort of announced his intention here. There's not really a plan B on the table. They've got to come up with something. It's probably going to be something pretty generous.
It has to be the first rounder. The first rounder has to be.
It's got to be the first rounder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, are you comfortable even making this move if you're the Jets, when you hear him say that I was 90% retiring going into the retreat and 10% to continue to play? If I'm the Jets, I'm like, I'm not good with that. I'm not good with somebody that has pretty much their whole body out the door except for a foot. Van Halen said you had one foot out the door. Well, he's kind of had his whole body out the door. He has one foot in the door, actually, is what he has.
I do respect the all-in nature of it. Other than trading into the draft, which you just can't do. I mean, you just took Zach Wilson like a minute ago. You can't like trade back into the one of the top picks in the draft to take another quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is your best shot at somebody who can come in and play at a legit MVP level. To the point that you were making before about the urgency of getting him in, like you can't just still be figuring it out in September and October, not in this division, right? Like, this division's too good. Like, Miami's too good. Buffalo's too good. You can't just be finding your way early in the season. Like, you got to be ready to win games immediately. And Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who can obviously still, you know, didn't necessarily do it last year, did deal with some injuries. Aaron Rodgers is always somebody who is going to let us know that he's hurting if he doesn't play well, right? Like, it's not my favorite thing about him. But he was playing with some injuries last year, and he's only a year removed from being arguably the best quarterback in football, not named Patrick Mahomes. So, he is somebody who can actually get you deep into the postseason, right? So I think he was the right play among everybody who was available this offseason. It doesn't move the needle for the Jets, again, especially in this division, if you just add like Jimmy Garoppolo or you just add Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr's fine, but you know, the upside of Aaron Rodgers over one or two years trumps it, I think.
Oh, by the way, Knight sends in a super chat here, and he says, I'm sticking to it, oh, Breece Hall for Rodgers.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine for a draft pick and Breece Hall? Wow.
Probably not going to happen. By the way, I think we've talked about this before, but how exciting will it be to actually see a Jets quarterback who can maximize the receiving weapons that they have in the backfield. Like, they have really good receiving options in the backfield. And it is, like, weirdly the one thing that Zach Wilson especially can't do, right? He just cannot throw a screen to save his life, cannot hit a running back.
He has no touch.
The shortest pass. No touch whatsoever. Zero touch.
None. Mariota had that problem.
If there's a lesson with Zach Wilson, and I still remember this when he was coming into the draft, players like that are so impossible for meat. And I'm not some, grizzled scout who's been at it in the trenches and in the boardrooms for forever grinding tape. But like, if there's one type of player that I just have no luck with in terms of evaluation, it's quarterbacks like Zach Wilson, who never faced pressure in college, right? He had a great offensive line around him. They just built a wall around him. He had all day to throw, huge lanes available to him. And again, all the time in the world.
All those guys are on missions and they're like 37 years old.
right. Exactly. They come back. They're like 28 years old.
BYU has old man strength on the line, bro. Come on.
It's so hard to evaluate.
It's like 20 years ago watching our kids play the Cuban national team. It's like, yo, bro, our guys are 18, and these baseball players are like 30, 34 years old, should be playing in the majors.
They're all 28 to 32, yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. But it's so difficult to evaluate players in those circumstances, because that's just not what NFL life is like, right? So you could look at a throw and be like, wow, great arm, great accuracy. It's just, you never get that kind of time and space in the NFL.
Well, all you got to do is, and we're 2 for 2 now. Okay. 2 for 2. It's only happened twice. Okay. Only happened twice. Are you ready for this? It's only happened twice where people came out wowed by a workout. One of the greatest workouts. Did you see that throw? And that happened with Zach Wilson. Who else did it happen? What other player did it happen with a few years ago that everybody was wowed with his workout? Do you remember?
Well, who are you thinking of? Because this happens periodically. Absolutely.
Jamarcus Russell. And right away, like when people were freaking out on Zach Wilson's workout and the throw he did, that one throw he did, I'm like, dude, this is a workout with no wind, no defense. What are you telling me? And the Jamarcus, it's the greatest workout of all time. Right away, I knew that's it. I'm done. You guys are going off a workout? Seriously, a workout? Come on. We're talking about practice. I mean, that's the kind of, like, that is something that is going to, like, send off signals whenever that happens in the future, that somebody is wowed by their combine workout, and get out of here, dude.
Yeah, I will say the thing that I always like to go off, especially with quarterbacks, and it doesn't always pan out. Sometimes this misses too. But just like if you've played great Power 5 defenses, I just want to see those games. That's all I want to see. I don't need to see what you did against Duke. I don't need to see what you did against, Wake Forest. I certainly don't need to see what you did against, like, all due respect to the MAC. I don't need to see what you did against a directional Michigan or something like that. I want to see what you did against, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Alabama, whether it's the best Big Ten team on your schedule or whatever, the best Pac-12 team. That's what I want to see.
Or the Patriot League, of course. The Patriot League also,
Yeah. I just want to see a few of those games. I don't need to see everything. I want to see how quickly you process under those conditions, like against the few teams in the country that can actually, create coverage scenarios that look a little bit like what life is like in the NFL. That's what I want to see. And sometimes it doesn't work, because like the few games that we had with Josh Allen in those circumstances were terrible games. Like his film against Nebraska is one of the worst things you will ever see. He didn't do anything against Iowa. Like when Josh Allen faced a credible opponent, nothing good happened. And he's great, right? Right. Like sometimes it breaks down, sometimes it doesn't work. But it is also something that, you know, it is a better litmus test than like just watching a bunch of Zach Wilson film against, you know, clearly outmanned opponents who couldn't touch right. him. You just can't take anything away from stuff like that.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's performance against Wyoming. Yeah, way to go.
Right.
All right. What do you got going on Yahoo Sports, my friend, so folks can check you out?
Yeah, the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast is still, we're still cranking out episodes talking about everything that's going down in free agency. And of course, this is kind of the big draft week and biggest draft weekend coming up for fantasy baseball. So we got all the fantasy baseball content you could possibly want.
All right. It's a beautiful thing. And make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Andy, we'll catch up next week, my friend. Appreciate you immensely.
Thanks, Big O. Catch you later, bro.
Thank you, sir. There you go, Andy Behrens. And when we talk about Sports Grill, they man, listen, you got UM in the Sweet 16, men's or women's. You can go catch the games there at Sports Grill. Even FAU, you want to catch them there. You can catch those delicious grilled wings. Special grilled wings are just absolutely phenomenal, folks. All kinds of stuff going on. And remember, at Sports Grill, you can also take home the sauces. Oh yeah, baby. You know their sauces are legendary. You can now take them home and you can douse anything and everything with Sports Grill sauces. Today is Tuesday, $2 tacos. You can choose from chicken, beef, or fish. And of course, they've got the Doral location, the 8th location that they've just opened up. It is a beautiful location. On Wednesday, you kids eat free with the purchase of an adult entree. So check it out. 8 great locations. Search for the one nearest you at sportsgrill.com.